Welcome to Minority Corner.
With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay.
And ladylike.
I see you, lady. Lady, what you doing over there?
I'm waiting for some cookies.
Okay, who gotta give you them cookies?
You.
Best joke ever. This week on Minority Corner.
What do you have in store for us?
Well, aside from a lot of gas, I just ate a pizza and a lot of cheese.
Oh, okay. You need to watch yourself.
I just burped it out. Because now that my musical is over, I can eat as much dairy as I want.
No, you can't, because you know that us people who are not from Western Europe can't handle our dairy. That's why we got the gases.
Challenge accepted. Also, on that note, so last week I had teased that we were going to do a history of the Pink Triangle, and I am delivering.
Yes!
Science will deliver. I'm yours. And you know why I did that? I said to hold myself accountable, because I'm like, once I put it on air, then I have to come back and do it.
See, that's smart. That's why I never say what I'm going to do.
You're like, I'm going to do a huge expose on the history of women in hoop skirts. And then
and then I go chase a butterfly for a week, and then next thing you know, we're recording.
Butterfly better than damn cute for a week. She's like, what?
I only chase the cutest butterflies.
Well, that's
true.
I know you. But okay, butterfly, what are you talking about?
I'm doing one of my classic book lists.
Oh, I was going to say it's a listicle?
It's a listicle, and it's a book listicle. One of my favorite lists that I always do. And it is a list of books for children that are about black children that don't involve slavery or sports.
You know what? I love that you are getting even more. Each time you come up with one of these lists, it gets more and more specific. It's like that. It's like on Netflix when they get like sub categories.
And
it's like lady suspense thrillers with witches.
It's so true. It's like you keep giving me these 5-star ratings and thumbs up. I'm going to narrow down what you guys want to hear.
You're like, and you're going to get very specific. And it's going to be like, well, damn, I'm glad that you got that. I do love that. I love high school superhero drama romantic comedies.
Yeah, hey, you know what? There's
set
at least
Australia.
One. There's at least, and all you need is one to make a list.
That's it. Okay, well, let's get onto the corner, because I got a surprise for you waiting over in the show.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
Oh, hey, girl, hey.
Hey, and I need to hear the surprise, because you got me before air, you're telling me there's a surprise. Then you got me on air telling me there's a surprise. I need to hear the surprise.
And I even during the break, I told you there was a surprise. It's just like, all I keep doing is just breadcrumbing you away. Surprise.
I know. I've gotten all my breadcrumbs. I am now at the gingerbread house. Now either cook me or eat me or tell me the surprise.
Can that please be the way that you, anytime someone's like, I got some information for you, I don't care if it's at a meeting, and you go up to like... your boss people, you're like, listen, boss people, you got me breadcrumbed all the way here. What is the information? I am at the gingerbread house. Either eat me or cook me or get in that oven.
Or tell me the surprise. Or tell me
also,
what is up with the fiscal changes of this year.
What is up? Yeah. What is going on? Also, spoiler alert for anybody who's not seen or read the gingerbread story. What is it? The Hansel.
Get with the
Hansel
program. If you don't know Hansel and Gretel, you are not a part of the zeitgeist.
What? You missed the train. I thought it was Hansel and Bettel, but it's Gretel. Are
what?
We sure on that?
I'm Bettel? Not even going to acknowledge that, James.
Are you sure? I don't know. It's been a long time.
Made that word up.
It's been a long time since I've been in Europe. Do you know, sidetrack away from the surprise, what if I just tell you the surprise at the end of the episode instead?
I would be a frustrated lady.
You would just, the entire episode, you're just like,
You'd be alone talking to dead air.
But you know, like, the history, I'm sure you know this because you're a librarian, fashionista, information lady, woman.
I love that title, yes. All of that.
And the history is that, like, those stories were to, like, keep kids out of the woods because the woods were dangerous and they would, like, die in them. So it was, like, scary stories about the woods.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you think about it, I think they also said that, like, witches lived in the woods most of the time, because that's where, well, any type of woman that didn't want to conform to society was a witch.
Fair
which
enough.
Is what I basically say, like, anytime anybody's like, ooh, what would it be like to live in this time period? if it's pre-1900, I'm a witch.
Yeah,
and true. I would be living in the motherfucking woods because I don't want anybody hassling me because I don't want to wear a corset or a bra. I don't want to be pregnant at 14. Uh-huh. I will just mix up my spices.
And that's so interesting. And there she bees, the witch who behexed me.
And like, she's just like, let me live my life.
And it could be like anything. You could blame anything on the witch. It's like, no. Who stole all these cookies? It was her, the witch, who stole all the cookies.
And she just wants to fucking let her hair down.
She's like, listen, I'm not about this life, okay? I'm not about these corsets. I'm not about these arranged marriages and all this shit. Right. I'm not having it. Not having it.
This town is racist. I'm going to live in the woods.
I'm out. Yes. Maybe, do you think like they could like reclaim that? They're like, I'm a badass witch.
I guess, but I mean.
In the woods, living in the woods. Stay out of here. Get out of my face. I'm going to eat your kids. Put them in the oven. Snack, snack, snack it up.
All right. Okay, freestyle.
This is the true story, Hansel and Bettel.
No,
Hansel
and Bettel. It's Gretel. It is Gretel, my friend.
Listen, tomato, tomato. You know what, Aneke? We're going to start the episode early with an agree to disagree, honey.
You still
agree
haven't told me the surprise. Disagree.
Oh, okay. So, the actual surprise. Yes. Okay, before I get too sidetracked. Okay, so as you all you know, so I just had my opening and closing weekend of the Black Queer Sci-Fi Space musical, Bring the Beat Back.
So cool. Went
incredibly well, very well received, very wonderful.
Yes. Awesome.
Really excited about it. So today was our industry performance. Ooh. And who was there in the front row?
Uh-oh.
Well, I'll tell you this. I am now officially 1 degree of separation from the following people. I'm going to read you a list of people I am now 1 degree of separation away
a
from.
A list?
I have a list for you. So Shonda Rhimes, I'm now 1 degree of separation from.
Shut the fuck up. Shonda Rhimes was at this production?
No, I'm 1 degree of separation.
Oh, the person is connected to these people. You are dragging this one out.
For this reveal. Okay. Shonda Rhimes. Obviously, then Kerry Washington as well. Okay. Papa Pope. And also Susan Lucci.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So who was there in the front row? Tony Award winner, Tanya Pinkins. Who's
that?
Tanya Pinkins, she played Papa Pope's girlfriend who just...
who just got killed. Something happened to her.
Something terribly tragic may or may not have happened to her. She also used to be on All My Children. She was in she's like a Tony Broadway Award winner.
She had that familiar face.
And she does. Like you see her and you're like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Tanya
Pinkins.
Yes. And she was there. And
that is awesome. Did you talk to her?
Isn't that crazy? I did go and talk to her because before the show, everybody, my castmates, they knew who she was and they kept being like, I don't want to know. If there's someone big, I don't care. I don't want to know. I don't know who you are. I don't care. I don't like to peek behind, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone just kept being like, scandal, scandal. Like, I'm like, listen, I don't have, like, and I was like, she looks like she's famous and important. Okay.
Yeah.
And then after the show, they pieced it together. And then my friend was like, oh, she's from Scandal. And I was like, oh, I'm so sad that she died. And he's like, don't tell her that. And of course, I went over there
James.
And said, what?
One, we just tried to protect that spoiler.
Oh, well,
nary
anyways,
2 minutes ago. Two, what did you say to her?
Well, after she said, good job, congratulations with the show, and like a deep like look in my eyes, good job. I then was like, you know, I'm so sorry that you died on Scandal. I shook her hand. And then I was like, but you know, your story arc was great. It's so great to have you on the show.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's nice.
Thanking her for the fans. And then I turn around and like literally the girl who talks to her next literally said the same thing.
No!
I am so sorry you died on Scandal. This poor woman, well, like she's got this illustrious career and like that's
I know, that's what people remember. They're like, well, she to give you guys credit, she recently just died. It wasn't like she like this is something
like
that happened
10 years ago.
I know.
This is her most recent nod. So, you know, you're only as whatever as your latest thing.
Yeah.
Put it on a pillow and embroider that quote said by James.
You're only as whatever as your latest thing. I want
so
that,
put
on,
that
a
on a
shirt
pillow.
So bad.
So that's my that was my thing.
That's good. I love that.
Isn't that cool?
That's
only
your little brush. Little brush with fame.
Not you know what's so funny? I literally put on my vision wall, gotta be on a Shonda Rhimes show, and shit is like coming at me.
It's coming. That shit is on its way. You're about to be inducted into Shondaland and it's going to be
amazing. I'm calling it. I'm going to play Olivia Pope's brother in season 9. And that's, you know, the show is real. It's its last season. That thing that ruins the show. You're like,
Why are you doing that to yourself? You need to be like, I am the lead in the next Shonda Land Productions.
Oh, yeah. Leave Scandal. Leave Scandal because, you know.
Yeah. Come on. That show is limping. I am going to have to, this is a little pre for something coming up on Wednesday of this week. I bought these tickets to...
to Maxwell?
No.
Oh.
What? I don't know. He's sexy, isn't but he I don't know.
You didn't get tickets to Maxwell?
No, I'm going to this art brouhaha and I'm really excited about it. So
does it mean you're going and you're going dressed as a witch?
Kind of. So it's the first party. It's almost like a gala. It's a gala. It's a like a birthday gala for the SF MoMA, which is the Modern Museum of Art here in San Francisco. They're doing a birthday party gala and you have to dress in monochromatic colors.
Oh, yeah. You teased this last week. What do you wear?
My goal is I'm going to meet Solange.
Oh, that's right, because Solange is
going to
be there.
I'm going to try and meet her. I think it's going to happen.
And this is on Wednesday. Well, I'm going to put this up. I will add it to my visualizations in the morning. You just got to visualize that shit. Visualize it.
Yes.
And I'm speaking to everyone when I say this. Like, do not underestimate the power of visualization.
Yeah.
I'm going over to James's Oprah Empowering Corner.
I love that.
For a second.
Yes.
Because athletes do that shit. They do it all the time. They visualize. And like, have you ever done the exercise where you point in front of you and then you point all the way, like, as far as you can, like you circle behind you as far as you can.
I haven't done
it. And you like look and you look at where that point is and then you visualize yourself going past that point, you visualize yourself stretching further, and then you do it, and you do go back, you go even further.
Ah.
Like, that's the power of the mind and, like, visualization.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I was been having, like, my panic attacks and stuff, and I would visualize, like, standing ovations for the show.
Yeah.
And then, one happened. And so then when those things happen, you're not sort of freaked out by it. You're not like, oh, I don't deserve this.
You're this is supposed to happen.
Exactly. It feels just right. So, Aneke, visualize yourself.
Oh, it's going to happen. I believe in the power of visualization, and I also believe in the power of my elbows pushing past people to get to her.
Is that part of your visualization? you just see your elbows just flying and just going.
It's going to be a blur of orange because I'm going to go in a full orange ensemble.
You know, I can't even really imagine this. I'm going to have to wait for the photos.
And then also...
Yes.
One of the reasons why I'm bringing this up is because we got an email for people who bought tickets to this thing. They're like, one of the art exhibits that's going to be on display is called Flash, 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 tattoo exhibit. So there's these two scraggly-ass drawings that have been drawn by two artists, and they're going to be tattooing it on people and numbering them.
Okay.
Because they're art pieces. What am I getting into, James? This is going to be crazy. Aneke,
you live a wild San Franciscan artistic life. Like, I don't know.
I haven't done anything like this. This is going to be my velvet rope experience. I am excited.
Oh, yeah. Aneke, this is happening on Wednesday. I don't want you to come. You better not be home until at least
we might be staying in a hotel.
Oh, yeah. Go hard.
You know?
You know what? No, you're going to be staying in Solange's hotel with her baby.
Well, her baby is like 8 or 9.
Good. So you gotta put it to bed early and y'all can just go hard. Y'all can play Taboo.
Come on, you gotta have better expectations for me than Taboo.
Black folks love Taboo.
With Solange's 8-year-old son.
What else are you gonna do? I mean,
I'm just gonna let the dice roll. We're gonna see where it goes. Cause you know
don't discount Taboo, because Taboo is fun. I would like to play Taboo with Solange.
That is for when me and Solange are just friends on the weekend, hanging out at her country house or whatever.
That's for later. But this is like your ride or die. You know that night, you know those first nights when you meet someone, you just go hard. You just go hard.
I mean, me and Solange are going to be road dogs, basically.
Yeah. Road witches.
We're going to start a coven. My God. Of all women celebrities right now to start a coven with, Solange is the first person.
It'll be her.
Can you imagine?
That it's magical. I'm behexed by it as we speak.
See? And that's all I've got. That's what my life is going on right now, you know? It's like, I mean, school is good. That stuff is boring, though. People don't want to hear about how I'm, like, saving people from not getting F's.
Saving lives. She's literally dangerous minding. She's dangerous minding the youth of America.
I spend most of my life living in a dangerous paradise. Oh.
Didn't know where that song was at first. I thought all I heard was like, it's dangerous lives living. You gotta do your best in dangerous minds. I was like, oh, I don't remember this montage.
But you caught on, right?
It sounded like a rock like montage of like, you gotta read those books and get the grades. A dangerous minds and Michelle Pfeiffer's there to
I was singing a real ass song.
Did it sound like it at first? Judges.
I always hop on along with you. I try to, at least.
I know. I just couldn't. I couldn't find out where you were. Anyways, shall we get into the corner?
Let's do it.
All right, lady love.
Hey, stop making fun of me. My song is good.
And another thing, I forgot to tell you.
Whoa, right in the middle. Here we go.
I forgot to mention, so with this, I know I talk about this show a lot, but you know, this is my first time doing an onstage male-to-male kiss.
Oh, what? Really?
I know. Isn't that weird?
No.
I can't think of, you've seen all my shows.
What
I can't
about
think
the
of
band
one? We never kissed, he just gave me a blowjob. It was mimed, people. Gosh, this is arts we're talking about. The lights went down as he unzipped my pants and band fags.
Not so, even yeah, in I Romeo thought about and Juliet. That
too. R&J, I wasn't the love interest in it, so I didn't get my kiss on. I was one of the antagonists in Shakespeare's R&J.
I am very surprised by that, but you know what? I'm glad that you finally got your due.
Yeah, and what was so great about this project, and the director made this announcement too before the workshop performance, that it was so great to work on a project. First of all, it was all Black folks working on this project.
Yes.
It was all Black folks.
Love it.
Most of them, Black queer folks as well.
Ooh,
and
yes.
And that, like, the main goal was, you know, to have a project that wasn't having, a lot of times, like, if we're having a Black queer project, it's still under the guidance of probably like white gay men. And this had, it was ours, and the director even said, he's like, if it doesn't make sense, great, that's our mess that we got to create together, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I love
and there was
that.
Just something so
it.
Dope about that.
I love it.
So anyways, I would like to talk about the history of the Pink Triangle, because I was doing a stage reading for a show called Bent.
Right.
There's a movie about it. I don't know if you've seen the movie. Apparently,
I don't think I've had, but I'm familiar with the play.
Yeah. I guess, Clive, I've not seen the movie myself, but essentially, like, it takes place in, like, 1930s. And I, you know, when we all think about the Holocaust, we definitely are well aware that the treatment of what happened with the Jewish community and Jewish people.
Yes.
They were branded with yellow stars.
Right.
Even outside, not just in the concentration camps, but even, like, in their communities and their homes, they had to wear these so that way they were easily identified.
Right.
What Ben does is it talks about another specific group, like the homosexuals, specifically homosexual men, who were also targeted leading even up to the concentration camps in the 1930s.
Right. Yes.
So I wanted to just, you know, because people see the pink triangles, you know, we wave them around as pride comes around and they're on flags. But what does it really mean?
Oh, I love it. It's always good to find out where symbols come from, you know?
Right? You're just like, what is this? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Just like that.
What does this mean?
What is this?
Oh, okay. I see. Thank you for explaining that to me. All right. Thank you. Respect. So the Pink Triangle, so it was used by the Nazis in concentration camps to identify and shame homosexuals. And like I said, now it's been embraced by the LGBT community as a symbol of pride. And there also were other categories for other undesirables as well. Gypsies had to
quote
wear...
quote-unquote undesirables. We're not saying that.
And it is in my... Actually, it's in my notes as quote-unquote.
I just gotta cover the bases. I'm
that's
sorry.
Why you're here.
I mean, it's
that's
implied.
It's
implied, but
that's it. If you think, like, it's gonna be so funny. They're like, "Wow, James isn't like all these group of people."
You
not
know,
true.
Sound bites can be misconstrued.
That's true. Yeah, and I want to win that Miss Congeniality award. So, gypsies had to wear brown. had to wear a brown triangle. And then there was...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Political prisoners wore red. Criminals wore green. Black for antisocials. Purple for Jehovah Witnesses. Blue for...
Whoa, they got specific.
Oh, everybody is getting round up. Blue for immigrants. So, Neke, if you were running around in Berlin, this would have been you.
Goodbye, Neke.
Yeah, you're off. And then pink for homosexuals. And the pink star, especially, like, at least in Bent, the pink was, like, the lowest of the low. And the pink triangles, they're also very... They're larger, so that way guards could identify them from very far away. Wow. And, you know, not trying to have, like, the oppression Olympics here of who was treated worse.
No, not at all. You're just explaining
but it. But the homosexuals and the pink, the people who wore the pink triangles got some of, leading up to the, you know, Hitler's Final Solution, got some of the worst treatments and harassments, not only from the Nazi guards, but also from the other folks inside the camps. Because if you've got a purple star, a black star, a green star, you see that pink, you know, or pink triangle, or the purple triangle or the blue triangle, but you see that pink triangle, like, everybody hates you. You don't have any allies, you know?
Yeah.
And so why were they rounding up the homosexuals? Like, what law said to round them up? It stems from paragraph 175 of the German penal code, which was established in 1871. And it reads as the following. So paragraph 175 talks about an unnatural sex act committed between persons of male sex or by humans with animals is punishable by imprisonment. The loss of civil rights might also be imposed. As that was written, like, in 1871. Funny thing is, leading up to 1933 was when they they went hardcore on this paragraph 175. Because in Berlin before this...
Yeah, wasn't it liberal?
Berlin was, like, what San Francisco was in the 70s. Like, Berlin was, like, literally. Like, they actually were leading up to this where they were... It was about to be reformed. Paragraph 175 was about to be reformed. And there was Ernst Röhm. He was an openly gay leader of the stormtroopers, the Nazi stormtroopers. And he kind of believed in that old Greek fight and fuck model, you know, that, like... He loved having, he was like, yes, like, more gay men should be warriors for each other because, like, we're fucking each other. We're going to fight for each other. But Hitler and his crew saw Ernst Röhm as a threat. So in June of 1934, Ernst Röhm was murdered. And that's when they started immediately rounding up all the gays and enacting paragraph 175.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I mean, I've always kind of wondered about the transition because, I mean, obviously I've seen Cabaret and that dictates the change, but I've also heard so much about Berlin being, like, such a city of freedom and art and, you know, love. It's like so drastic to see it swing the opposite direction.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and Bent has this, and, like, some of the treatments, and I have some story, like, little snippets here, but some of the treatment that these folks receive, like, in Bent specifically, the guards would do this hat game where they would make one of the gay folks with the pink triangle take off their hat and throw it towards the electric fence. And
oh my God.
If they went to go get the hat, they would get electrocuted. If they didn't go get to their hat, then they would shoot them, you know.
Ugh.
God. And so, yeah, so it's essentially, like, this is a criminal act. And, like, you think, like, as it leads up to, like, you know, and even in the play Bent, you know, the Olympics are about to happen. And some of the people in the prisons, they're like, well, they're going to release us, I'm sure, because the Olympics are happening. And it's so interesting because, you know, again, this is like 1933, 1936. This is not the Final Solution. This is not the extermination of anyone, right? Like, these people are just
got a good, what is this, 10 more years left of the war?
Oh, yeah. Like, and, like, I don't even think at this point, like, 1936, I don't think, like, the full-on World War II has even been initiated, right? Like, I think that started 1941, I think. So we're not even at the full blaze of this, right? And so it's just so interesting because, again, I kind of want to point, like, you know, it's just interesting how the world turned a blind eye to all of this.
Right.
Because the world, like, they were like, oh, well, they're just putting gays in prison. right? So, like, and a lot of the world viewed gays as criminals, right? Again, this is, you know, 1930s. Right. This is not 2017. Yeah. And so no one was going to go run their flag up to the, you know, German border and be like, hey, you stop that. You release those gays. Like, there was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you should imprison them. Maybe we should maybe do the same thing over here, you know?
Turning a blind eye and being real cruel about it, which is happening right now.
Absolutely. And so then, so I was wondering about, you know, lesbians and like, mm-hmm. what was, you know, were they being rounded up? And short answer, no.
Interesting.
One thing I think it is that, like, I think the idea, again, also too, I think a lot of World War II was about the preservation of a race and being a dominant race. And at least with like, if a man's like if he's gay, then they're not going to get any children out of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of, I think, believed that like lesbians were maybe just confused or whatnot, and that they could still at least be childbearing. So it wasn't necessarily criminalized, but the lesbians also lost. I mean, all the bars, all the clubs, all the organizations, all like torn down, done. And again, there was a lot. Like there was like, this is again, think 1970s San Francisco. That's what Berlin literally was.
Yeah. It was a place of freedom where people would travel to go to Berlin to escape hardship from other cities and countries, right?
Absolutely. I think France is the only place at this point where you could go and be fully, fully safe. So,
My goodness. It's like, that's the problem with a patriarchal society, too. You know, like people are like, oh, you know, men suffer in a patriarch as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and that is completely proven by the double standards that are going on for gay men versus lesbians here.
Absolutely.
It's the fear of two men having a committed loving relationship is what fuels this hatred that happened, you know?
Yeah. There were instances of women being tried for crimes, but it's like, and then they would end up in some of these camps or in these prisons. But it was mainly believed that it was like literally like they were being tried by crimes, but it was mainly they were like, I think she's a lesbian. So we're going to like, you know, try her under this other criminal thing. Because again, paragraph 175 doesn't mention anything about women. It doesn't say anything about it being illegal for women to sleep with each other. Right.
And it says male instead of men.
Male. It only says male. Only says. Interesting. Yeah. So it only talks about dudes. Right.
Wow.
There was this one. On the 30th of November of 1940, there's a transportation list for this women's camp. And one of them was this non-Jewish woman named Ellie S. And she was about 26 years of age. And the term lesbian actually appears in the entry as the reason for her detention. So it's like there's such very few instances that like this one kind of like stands out. There's also this documentary called 2000 paragraph 175. And it says that I guess there's only 5 known cases of women being imprisoned solely because of their lesbianism that we've found. There is this one story of Henny Sherman and Mary Ponger. They were arrested in the raid of a lesbian bar back in 1940 and taken to Ravensbrück. Both women were Jewish, and while their internment documents listed that of their Judaism as why they were arrested, Sherman was listed as a compulsive lesbian and Ponger as a very active, sassy lesbian, quote unquote. They were gassed to death in 1942 in Bernburg Nursing Home near, well, I can't read these names, but they did not make it. They were gassed in essentially what was a death factory. In the documentary, there's also the story about Annette, who at 10, she wrote how she knew that she was a lesbian and just wanted to live out in the woods, essentially with an elderly girlfriend and with the animals, which she would pretty much be classified as a witch, you know?
Yeah. Yes, she wanted to be left the fuck alone so she could live her life.
Right. In the 1920s, Annette was active in lesbian cultural life in Berlin, spending time in women's clubs and occasionally writing poetry and short stories for a lesbian journal. And as the Nazis gained power, Annette managed to get free to England with the help of an older woman that she had met in this bar that she had a crush on. So this woman helped her get away. And then she later learned that her parents had been killed in Auschwitz. And the actual number of victims of homosexuals specifically is not known, but it estimates for probably about 7,000 to tens of thousand. You know, there was this there's this quote from one of the I think survivors, he said, you know, there was a fearful period began then because essentially you weren't caught in the act, but on suspicion, and you were punched and beaten until you finally named names. So there were also people who remember they were trying to like pass these referendums. So if you had anything connecting yourself to like, you know, queer culture, gay culture, you were essentially being, you know, rounded up. And just to sort of ground this, I wanted to read one survivor's recount of just to get an idea of what was happening in these camps.
Yeah.
And so this guy, this is, I think, from the documentary. I think you can see this in the documentary that I mentioned, paragraph 175. And so this guy's name is Pierre Seal, or Pierre Seal,
I think. Okay.
One day the loudspeakers ordered us to report immediately to the roll call site. Shouts and yells urged us to be there without delay. Surrounded by SS men, we had to form a square and stand at attention, as we did for morning roll call. The commandant appeared with his entire general staff. I assumed he was going to bludgeon us once again with his blind faith in the Reich, together with a list of orders, insults, and threats, emulating the infamous outpourings of his master, Adolf Hitler. But the actual ordeal was far worse, an execution. Two SS men brought a young man to the center of the square. Horrified, I recognized Joe, my loving friend, who was only 18 years old. I hadn't previously spotted him in the camp. Had he arrived before or after me? We hadn't seen each other during the days before I was summoned by the Gestapo. Now, I froze in terror. I prayed that he would escape their lists, their roundups, their humiliations. And here he was, before my powerless eyes, which filled with tears. Unlike me, he had not carried dangerous letters, torn down posters, or signed any statements. What had happened? What have the monsters accused him of? Because of my anguish, I have completely forgotten the wording of the death sentence. The loudspeakers broadcast some noisy classical music while the SS stripped him naked and shoved a tin pail over his head. Next, they sicked their ferocious German shepherds on him. The guard dogs first bit into his groin and thighs, then devoured him right in front of us. His shrieks of pain were distorted and amplified by the pain in which his head was trapped underneath the pail. My rigid body reeled. My eyes gaped at so much horror, tears poured down my cheeks. I fervently prayed that he would black out quickly. Since then, I sometimes wake up howling in the middle of the night. For 50 years now, that scene has kept ceaselessly passing and repassing through my mind. I will never forget the barbaric murder of my love. Before my eyes, before our eyes, for there were hundreds of witnesses.
Just awful. Just absolutely awful.
I just wanted to share, just to get a little, you know, stories I think really help us to ground into it. And like, yes. This is like, it just essentially, you know, torture and whatnot.
It's a first account. Yeah. It's incredibly important because it's a first account. And that really tells us what was going on. It's not being reported out. It's not being told to us. It is what happened.
Right.
Which is what we need to know.
Yeah. And I think I was, you know, really inspired by, you know, Viola Davis again. I mentioned this before, but when, you know, she won her acceptance speech, she said, "Exhume the bodies." And that's something that has been really ringing very truthful for me. As an artist, the stories that I want to tell, you know, this musical piece that I was in, it was very much about ball culture. And essentially I was the last, my character was the last survivor of ball culture. And if you think about it, you know, with the havoc that AIDS and HIV happened, like the culture is almost so gone. I was the last person to survive, and to do work and to tell these stories, and to bring it up because, you know, and I just say, we don't spend a lot of time on this, but just curious, like, I mean, there's so many examples of exterminations that have happened throughout time. There was, I forgot about some of these. I was doing the Armenian genocide of 1915 to 1918 in the Ottoman Turkish Empire, the Holocaust, which we know, the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, ethnic cleansing in Bosnia and Sudan, Taliban in Afghanistan required non-Muslims to wear identifying badges. And sometimes it starts off like that, where like there's little things that start to happen. And I think, you know, you mentioned that this is, you know, they're doing this again. Where is it?
Chechnya. The president just said that he wants to eliminate the whole gay community by the end of May. The president of Chechnya just said that. Like, you can't get a clearer message mm-hmm. than the president stating that, you know?
Right.
And this is happening right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Oh, to circle back, the also really fucked up thing. So after World War II happened.
Yeah.
Everybody that still had a pink triangle mm-hmm. had to return to prison.
What?
They were not freed because they still is still technically under paragraph 175. Everything else, like to the Jehovah Witnesses and the gypsies, that was purely, there was not a law about it. It's just that yeah. Hitler was just like, I don't want to see these people if you're not, you know, white, Christian,
blonde, you know, able-bodied.
Yeah, then you're going into these camps. But because there still was technically a law, you know, these folks, many of them still had to return to prison. Isn't that some fucked up shit?
I can't even, like, you think that you get so much hope after the war is over and people are being released and you don't get that privilege just because of who you are. It's out of control. And the fact that we're able to, that it's hard because you feel a little impotent because you're trying, like me personally, I want to do something. And I think spreading mm-hmm. the word, talking about it, what we're doing right now, you giving the history and the context is so incredibly important. Just the fact that we, as a world, we have a history of denial, like something right. as terrible can be happening in another part of the world. And we can like easily just be like, not in my neighborhood and keep right. on going, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to bring this up because like, for me, it's like now, anytime I see a pink triangle,
yeah.
that is like fucking so powerful to me mm. of what that represents. And if there's, you know, what that means, so I want people to think about that. And especially my folks in the community, when you yeah. see that, like that is a place of surviving
yes.
and power. Mm-hmm. And also just, I wanted to throw this out there. I hope everyone, if you haven't seen it, if you have a Netflix account, you need to watch it now. Paris is Burning is such
so good.
Required viewing because it was, you know, I'm just so proud of like my queer folks and people. Like we create so much of the art and culture that exists in our pop cultural life today. It yes. came from the brilliancy of these queer minds and queer folks that like
of color especially.
Absolutely, yeah. And I just think about how much was even lost there, even in Berlin, that was, yeah. you know, of what they were creating there, too.
Right.
And so please go watch Paris is Burning if you haven't. For those, especially if you are also queer and POC, you please go watch it for yourself and get so enriched and see, like,
right.
the slang that we use nowadays.
I was
going to
say, if you have uttered yes, hunty, tea, slay. Reading, all of those words, if you fucking love watching RuPaul's Drag Race, if you like Madonna and her voguing, stealing shit back yeah. in the day, you need to see Paris is Burning because we are literally ripping from that culture.
Yeah.
I am.
And I wanted to just, well, yeah, thank you for admitting. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with, like, just, like, give credit where credit is due.
I know where it's from, yeah.
You know where it's from, so you go ahead, girl. You go ahead, you use that. I give you permission.
Thank you.
But I also, I wanted to, you know, I don't want to end on such a sourpuss of a note, but I wanted to bring this mm. one, history and awareness, because this way when you start seeing, I mean, this could happen here. It could. Yeah. I don't want to, like, you know, because it starts with one group. And I love mm-hmm. that someone had a poster that said, you know, because there's that thing that poem, and then they came for me, you know,
right.
they came for the gays. I didn't do anything. They came for, you know, the Jews. I didn't do anything. And then they came for me and there was no one left to stand for me or whatever
right.
that quote is.
Right.
And there was someone who wrote a poster for, you know, some of the protests that have been happening. They're like, and then they came for the Muslims. And I said, fuck no.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. We need to stop it dead in the tracks because it's ridiculous. I mean, the fact that Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, can say something about, oh, a tiny island in the Pacific blocking the travel ban. Fuck you. Hawaii is a state of the United States of America. They're Americans. It is not a tiny, like, that sort of speak is normalizing a type of thought pattern that will get us to that arena that you are bringing up right now. Do yeah. not normalize the insanity that is happening right now.
There's nothing about any of these roundups, like none of it is okay. None of it should be allowed. I do not trust the camps. I do not trust any of this sort of stuff. So we have to shut it down.
And also just to
celebrate, you know, my queer folks out there, you know, and because like going back, you know, even thinking like if you look at Beyonce.
Yes. Like
who, there is just gay hands all over that, you know, like all of her like fabulousness, her choreography, like we've created such culture. And I want us to just, I wanted to celebrate that, you know, we have survived epidemics, genocides, enslavements, bullshit laws, attacks, and we're still here. And we are still fucking here. We're a group of people that are consistently persecuted, and we are still fucking here.
And still providing for those who have persecuted against the community.
Truth on that. Truth on that. You know? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, this ain't no Handmaiden's Tale. We will be the star. Because we are every bit as talented. We will transform. And survive.
Yes.
Keep coming. We will not be deterred, y'all. We will not be deterred. Death drop for the gods. I am out. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Baton pass to you.
So, okay, we're in my corner, but before we go into my gentle, easy corner, I wanted you brought up Handmaiden's Tale. And
yes.
I wanted to talk about that because that TV show is coming out on Hulu. It is it's based on a book by Margaret Atwood, and it's about a dystopian future where basically women have lost all their rights.
It's not already out? I thought it was. No, it's not.
I don't think it's already out. I think it's coming out soon.
Okay.
And like a couple, maybe by the time you're listening to this, it probably has come out. I think it's coming out on the 26th. So yes, by the time
the posters
you hear this,
The posters look intense because it's like some like futuristic stormtrooper set next to like some literal handmaiden from the olden days.
Yeah. So basically, just to sum up the story for people, the future is basically so many nuclear war craziness has happened. A lot of the women aren't fertile. So the women who are fertile have to wear these dumbass red petticoats and are called handmaidens, but basically they are owned by the household and once a month have to have sex with the head of household to get pregnant so that the population can still go on. Here's my gripe.
Yes. Yeah.
I tried to read the book, had a little trouble with it. First off,
did a woman write it?
Yes.
Okay.
But here's my problem. She just, one line of passage for people of color. Just saying how they were sent off to live in another community. That's it.
Okay, the show's going to be all white people.
No, they changed it for the show, which I'm happy about. They made a smart decision and added black people to the show, and they actually have the amazing Samara Wiley from Orange is the New Black.
Why did this white lady decide to write that? Why was that important to the storyline?
And then here's the other part.
Is she gonna have a sequel where she like goes to that community? Why did she set that up in her world?
It's so weird. And here's the part that really kind of bums me out and has really got me thinking. Apparently, I tried to read the book, but I had to put it down. But I read in an article that there is a underground woman passage where they actually call it like an underground kind of railroad thing, but for women to escape. But I'm kind of like, if you want to borrow so heavily from the slave black experience and you don't even have the wherewithal to put in a black voice, that to me bums me out. That to me is annoying.
This is why, and I hate to go back to this point, and maybe you're all done with it, maybe you're done with me, but I don't care. It's the shit like this why we lost the election. Because it's like, again, like if you're trying to have, like when you, it's like when I, you know, when I tell that story about there was that group of like, you know, 50 white women who were doing a show about feminism. And there was just literally just like 50 white women and who were...
Where are the women of color?
They were like chanting like Black Lives Matter. And it's like, well, clearly not. Because where are they?
I know, you couldn't hire one?
I guess black paychecks don't matter.
I know. So that's why I get really... And it goes hand in hand with your last corner. Because if we're going to borrow so heavily from the gay community, if you're going to borrow so heavily from the black experience, you need to give these people props and a voice within the context of it.
Because this is what we call, this is erasure. And we see it happening again and again. And that goes, again, this goes with privilege because you're at the top. So you're able to take and borrow whatever it is that you want, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I was thinking of like a funny joke where like, I'm going to show up to Coachella, you know, everybody jokes that like all the girls show up there like in their ethnic wear. I'm going to like show up in like a dirndl. Like, dressed like Hansel and Gretel.
Actually, that would be really dope. And you're like, what? And okay, actually, I would like to put that in our queue of things for you and me to do, is we need to go to some crazy festival and show up in some, like, German, like, bratwurst.
Like, hella European ethnic wear.
I am actually really for that. POCs rally up. Let's do it. Let's see what's happened. Let's do you like it. This?
Why not?
Do you like it?
Mm-hmm. What about this?
What about that? I do want to mention something to you about, I think it's so interesting about, it's sort of, this is a tangent off what you're talking about, but
yeah.
When you talk about just like access and you know, like I'm thinking about, again, I keep bringing it up, but I'm using it as a vehicle to talk about something, but like, the show totally. That I was in, the language is so rich and so poetic and so deep. Like, a lot of work and effort went into this. And I was in another show that had, like, you know, this white writer. And, you know, the show wasn't really about anything. The writing was okay, but it wasn't really about anything. Okay. I think it's just so interesting because he was, you know, a straight white dude. But he did write in a gay character or anything. But, like, he didn't have to, like... And, like, if you were given opportunity to write something, like, you as a black woman, for you... Mm-hmm. I would wager you're like, shit, I gotta really say something with this. You know, like you can't, like, do you, like, it's like.
Yeah, it's the, you gotta be, what's the thing where, that we're all told all the time is like, we gotta be like 10 times better to get half as much.
Right, like, and like, we don't get to just throw away. We don't get to just like, it's like, oh shit, we're getting this stage and this opportunity and this platform. It's like, we have to like make it count and make it really say something.
Instead of being like, oh, well, that didn't work.
We don't
another
get to kind of
train
have,
will come by.
Yeah, we don't get to have like mediocre stories. Like, our stories have to be like epic and saying all the things and having such heavy conversation.
This is actually a really good lead into my soft playtime easy corner. Right.
Okay.
Because you bring up a good point. A lot of times, and people of color, black people, haven't been given the platform. So when we do get the platform, we want to say it all, say it most powerful, so we can continue to get the platform.
And I want to add in, I'm going to add in all of our other folks in there too. I'm throwing the Latinos and the Asians as well. So, okay.
Oh, yeah. Everybody who hasn't had a chance to get the opportunity wants to say it all. So it has to be a story about, you know, you got to change the world. You got to change your minds. You got to inspire. It has to be beautiful. It has to get a laugh and a tear, you know? And after a certain point, we all know the formula. Like, for black people, we know that we're talking about some slavery with some soulful music, with an escape and a freedom, happiness at the end, then boom, you did it. You can get more people into it, you know? Which is why there's so many stories about slavery out there, which is great. Right. It needs to be told. Same with civil rights. You know, people love a good 60s montage, all races holding hands, fighting against some racist ass red faced governor. the bill gets signed, hippies, flowers in the air, success, you know? And then we all like a sports story. We, you know, the disadvantaged young youth from the inner city who's really good at playing basketball and has that gruff uncle, father figure guy who's not his father because the father was absent. And then, like, success goes and wins the game. Hooray! Yeah. Hip hop music. You know, like, we know the formula. But the problem is, we're not given a platform to tell other stories.
Right.
Like you said. And we have so many other experiences in our lives that other people don't realize is because we're not given the opportunity to.
I was going to say, I feel like that's what Shonda was really trying to do. I know we talk about Shonda Rhimes so much, but I think that's what she was really trying to... I feel like that's what she was trying to do. Give me a job. Give an Ike one too.
She's the Shonda of the show.
She is the Shonda of the show. But I feel like Shonda's the Shonda of this show, to be honest.
Yes, let's be honest.
People are like, is she paying y'all? Not yet.
We wish.
But I feel like that's what she was trying to do with Scandal at first, because they really didn't bring up Olivia's blackness until maybe the third season.
Yes.
Because also the zeitgeist of the culture was like, you know, Ferguson and stuff was happening. It was like, you can't not talk about this.
Right. And that's the other point is like, for us as black people, we don't have to talk about it. We wear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I feel like when I walk into a room, I don't have to be like, guess what, everyone? I am a black woman. Like, no, it's obvious. Mm-hmm. I come in with a neon sign that says I'm a black woman. I got braids mm-hmm. down to my butthole. Like, mm-hmm. I am a black woman and I'm proud of it.
Right.
So it's nice. It was refreshing to watch a show where we didn't have to immediately talk about race.
And at the same time, that was also written by a black woman. So you still felt like it had this black voice. Whereas,
yes.
like, you know, sometimes, like, there's a show and it's like, okay, yeah, well, they put in a black person, but, like, it's still got, like, complete white leadership or white, you know,
yes,
writing behind it, which is fine, but like there's something that's different about it when you have someone at the head of the table steering that, and maybe they're not acknowledging,
there's more trust,
yeah, and then maybe they're not, like, you know, talking about race every week, but that's okay. I know it sounds like I talk about race every day. Mm-hmm. But I don't. Maybe I do. But I don't know. But like, it's not
there are
all
days where I don't talk about it. I didn't talk about it yesterday. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because it's part of our experience. It's a part of it, not all
so
of it.
How do you navigate, like, what's the happy medium? Are you saying that, like, oh, I think mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. I think I hear what you're saying. I think what you're mm-hmm. saying is that you, like, there just needs to be more, because we still need to have these conversations. Like, it's still
yes.
important for us to see, it's so important for us to see these slave stories and slave narratives. It's so important for us to have these conversations around, like, there's that new Catherine Bigelow movie about Detroit.
Right, exactly. So do you see, like, I think that those stories are important, and I think that those stories got us heard, and it was the expected. It's what people wanted to hear, because we were trying to get out there as much and as powerful and as, you know, thought-provoking as we could. But we have other stories.
We just haven't been... Perfect Stranger, or what's the other one?
Yes!
Or, like, When the Bow Breaks.
Yes!
You know, those
are... We are multifaceted characters, and that's why we always, like, we'll get down on Tyler Perry, but we're happy he exists, because it's another aspect of being black people. You know what I mean?
Right, and the fact...
Like, it doesn't...
I love that both Empire and Shonda exist. Like...
Right!
You know, I was having this conversation with someone, and we're talking about how Empire doesn't really push the envelope any further, whereas at least with, like, Scandal, you know, she's, you know, this political power fixer woman, and then Annalise Keating in How to Get Away with Murder, you know, she's this black lawyer, and then even on, you know, Grey's Anatomy, you have all these, like, black female surgeons.
You know what, I want us to reach a point where we have so much exposure and availability to platforms that we can be mediocre in our work as well.
You calling Empire media? Are you calling Empire mediocre? Are you?
No,
you can.
I'm just saying.
I mean. Every black person in the world has been on that show, so you throw in the shade.
That's my goal for my people, is to have so much accessibility and platforms that people are like, that show wasn't that. You know what I mean?
We
like,
have,
you don't have to be the best
I think
the time.
We have that. Being Mary Jane.
That's good. That's true.
Gabrielle Union's Being Mary Jane. It's not the best, but it's there. She is never coming on this show.
Oh, which sucks, because I love Gabrielle
love you.
Union so
you
much.
Know what? I'm glad she has a show. I'm glad that Gabrielle Union's getting her money, because the BET was trying to stiff her on some of her contracts.
Mm-mm.
I'm glad you're getting your money. I got a big queue. I can't fit everything on there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, do you want to get to this list?
Yes, I do. Oh, I thought that was the corner. I'm sorry. I thought that was a quarter. Yeah, end your books.
No, it's good. Okay, so this is black picture books. So I'm bringing this up not just for black folks. I want everybody to read these picture books. And it's called 28 Black Picture Books That Aren't About Boycotts, Buses, or Basketball. And so I bring that up because a lot of these picture books, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks.
Those are the only ones I read. Are you telling this more? Jackie Robinson.
That's what Tiger I'm saying. Woods. And also, yes. And also, remember, and I'm sure I brought this up before in the past, they have changed it, thank God. All American, the American Girl series, with those, which is like crack cocaine for girls under 10.
They love 10, that shit.
Getting those the dolls or whatever.
I need Samantha.
When I was... Right. When I was growing up, it was only Addie, and she was an escaped slave. So let's mix it up, people.
Oh, yeah. So she makes hush puppies.
This is a list by Scott Woods. So thank you, Scott Woods. I don't know who you are, but I found this list. One is called Lizard from the Park by Mark Pett. So it's basically like Calvin and Hobbes. It's about this little boy who finds a lizard in the park. And he just so happens to be black.
There it is.
It's called Children of Color Can Have Silly Adventures, mm-hmm. too. There's another one called My Family Plays Music by Judy Cox and Albright Brown. And it's about this family who's in a band and they play music together. There's an angry lady on the cover shaking maracas.
She is in it. She's in the jam of it.
She looks She's angry. I don't know if you can see that. Let me see if I can try and get this in the camera.
Oh, she is into it, y'all. She is into it.
She Five, is six, shaking seven, maracas.
Eight. I want maracas.
There's also called The Butch, The Oops. The Book Itch.
Not The Butch It. It's a different book. The Butchening. Different story.
You might want to edit that out for me. The Book Itch, which is called Freedom, Truth, and Harlem's Greatest Bookstore.
Ooh, it's right.
Yeah, so basically Vonda Nelson and R. Gregory Christie. Nelson returns to the well of famous National Memorial African bookstore, but this time for a younger set than her previous offering, No Crystal Stairs. So this is basically a book about the National Memorial African bookstore in Harlem, but for children. Tar Beach, which I fucking loved.
I love Tar
when
Beach.
I was a kid.
I remember Tar Beach.
Yeah, Tar Beach is great. It's by Faith Ringgold, and it is beautifully illustrated. Newbery Award winner.
I remember that.
It's about going up to your... It made me wish to go to a rooftop in New York City.
Yes.
And have magical family
adventures. I kind of want to go, now that I live in New York, would like to revisit Tar Beach. You know, I'm like playing again.
Yes!
I've got my Play-Doh and my Legos. Now I got to read my children's books.
And yes, I fully encourage it.
I go on like a talk show, they're like, what are you reading? Well, on my nightstand, there's Tar Beach by a children's picture book.
Goodnight Moon is another one.
Those are my top reads. I love to read, y'all, along with some pictures.
You know what, y'all? Even if you don't have children, I encourage looking at some picture books because the illustrations are art.
Mm, good call.
It is beautiful. That's art. Beautiful, and a lot of times the message is beautiful.
I have to say, we've really been delivering on the play part of our tagline.
It's
we've
true.
Really, we've been doing it, so.
We have. I'm going to give a couple more because...
We'll post the list.
Yeah, the list will be there, and this is more just to get you guys encouraged to look for books with protagonists that look a little different than expected. Thunder Rose by Geraldine Nolan and Kadir Nelson. This is, I don't even know what this is about, but on the front cover, there's this beautiful cowgirl with the longest pigtails that she got going out she's lassoing her two pigtails with some straw in her mouth. She looks so cute. I'm gonna show you right now, James.
You know what I love? It's like she adorable. And I feel like you're reading me a children's story because you know when you read a story and then you show the pictures to the children is literally what Aneke is doing. She's like, let me show you the cover. And here it is.
It's called There Was a Class in Library School for That.
Oh, did you take that?
Yes,
oh
I did.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't.
I want I next not. Time I see I you, not, I want to pretend. Let's do a role play where you are back in that class and I'm in that class.
Yeah,
but I'm playing one of the students in your preschool class, and you got to do that. I want you to read me a story.
Sure.
I want you to read me more picture book stories.
I wish I was a children's librarian just for that point, because I wish that I could read some children some stories, because I feel like I'd be really good at it.
Maybe there's some sort of program you could do or something. I'm sure there's something. If you would like to have Aneke come to your...
No, don't advertise me for this. What if they fly
you
in?
What if they'll fly you, they'll whisk you away?
Am I getting some money on top of that?
You're getting a free trip to, you know, Idaho.
No thanks.
Nebraska. Those kids need
no,
you too.
No knock in Idaho, but
I
this...
I also want to put a cow...
This librarian would like to be paid.
I feel like you also have a secret desire to be a cowgirl. Am I right?
No.
Oh, because you were like, bing, 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 like reading this...
It looked cool. I mean, it looked cool, but me personally...
I could see you.
Me personally...
I could see you.
I don't like cows.
But no, but you're mainly with the horses. What about a horse?
I don't like large animals. Horses kind of scare me too.
Why did you bury the lead? Like, you're only tending to the cows?
That's what cow men and women
no,
do.
No, cowboys ride horses. The cow is just...
To gather the cows.
Oh. That makes
yeah,
more sense.
That's why they're called cowboys.
I've seen a cowboy. I've seen cowboy movies before, and they never touch a cow. They've never been close to one.
Literally, the definition of a cowboy is the person who herds cows along while they graze and eat, and then they take them to go get
and
slaughtered.
And I'm all for that as a job description, but I think as a movie genre, we need to retitle what are they actually are. Maybe they're like, what are they? They're like... Like horse heroes,
renegades,
horse heroes on horseback, you know.
I like that better because a cowboy, literally a cowboy. The reason why, you know, you see a cowboy sitting by a fire in the middle of nowhere with like a straw in their mouth.
Yeah.
That's them at night camping out because they're migrating the cows.
Which means that Brokeback Mountain was probably the most realistic portrayal of cowboys ever. I'm going to say,
yeah, they had ranches.
I'm
going
to say to date, that is probably the most, because that's literally what they did is they just wrangled. The movie is about two men wrangling cows and they sometimes have sex with each other.
They were literally cowboys.
Those are the real cowboys. So John Wayne was just more of like a guy who.
He's an actor.
I'm glad we cleared that up. All right. Give me another book.
Lola Reads to Leo, which is by Anna McQuinn and Rosalind Burnshaw, which is basically about yeah, it's a picture of me reading my little baby bro a book on a large couch.
This is literally
is.
What our life would have been like if we met like 20 years earlier.
As tiny babies.
Oh, 30 years earlier.
Yes. And you know what? I think that is going to sum it up. There's a lot more on here. I just really want you guys to check it out. There's some beautiful... There's one called Monster Trouble, which has this cute little girl sitting there looking angry at these monsters who are around her bed. It just looks super cute. I want you guys to check it out. If you got kids, if you don't, if you want to buy a gift for somebody, I think that this is a good gift. I always give children books.
That's great.
I want to encourage more people to give children books because it is not only a gift for them, it is a gift for you as well because... Mm-hmm. You know, you're reading and nothing is more valuable than being read to. My parents read to me and it was one of my most cherished memories that I could ever have.
I agree.
So.
And I look forward to you reading to me when I'm back in San Francisco for 2 weeks. I want you to come to my bedside and read me to sleep every night.
Then what am I supposed to do after that? Go drive home?
I'm asleep. I can't figure that out. You want me to wake up? Well, then that defeats the purpose of everything you just did. Why bother? Or then you know what I'll do? So you'll read me to sleep. And that sounds like you're just going to like read me and be like, oh boy, look at your pajamas.
I know.
You look crazy.
I know.
So I want you to...
You call this a room? What are you doing with your life, James? What?
Mm-mm. And then...
The library is open. Snore,
and then wake me up and be like, James, it's time for me to go home. Then I'm going to drive you home and then I'll read you to sleep and be like, Aneke, what is all this over here? Who painted these walls?
I just fall asleep.
And that's the night.
We must be doing the most boring reads ever to each other for us to fall asleep.
I didn't say I was good at it. That's the point. That's why, if you would like Aneke and James to read you to sleep.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
We're not good at it. All right. Well, thank you, Aneke, for your bedtime book. And also just, like, in general, too, because I think it's great because, like, I imagine, like, as a soon-to-be father in the next 15, 20 years, I'm glad that I have a list. As a soon-to-be father in a few decades.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that I have other options to read my children books. You know, like, I already have a hard enough time going on Netflix and being like, too many white people on this show, too many white people on that show. So it's also, like, I can't even imagine being a parent of, like, you know, a child who is not white.
There are, and, like, the diversity in books is amazing. Like, there is amazing in its terribleness. Like, I think that I read a statistic that there's more books with lead characters that are animals than there are of children of
you
color.
You know what? I heard that, and I heard that from you on this very podcast. And
yes! I hope I wasn't reading the same list. I don't think it was a different list. You know what?
Well,
like I say to my students, you hear it twice, it soaks in more. So there you go. You're welcome, everybody.
Let's wrap this witch.
We are going to wrap this witch up into the woods. Get her to safety.
Get her to safety. Well, okay, that's true. Because I was like, I thought, don't put her in the oven.
No, she's cooking
I would like to, you know what? I think here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the real story. See, this is what Disney needs to get on up since they want to do Maleficent and Malefafu, whatever her name is.
Yeah, all the retellings.
All the retellings or whatnot, you need to tell the real story what happened to that woman who was out there minding her own goddamn business.
Yes.
And she had a little bit of a sweet tooth. She maybe had the diabetes, but whatever. And
yeah, she was keeping it in check.
But she was monitoring herself. And she was like, I out here, away from all these rules, all this shit, minding my own business. And some greedy ass kids.
Chomping ass kids in her house.
You could probably, like, just like, entitled kids who are just like, I'm going to go get anything I want. Go
and
off.
And you know what? I agree with you about her. She probably had the beaties and she didn't want to eat it. So she decided to turn it into art. And she she's like, I'm going to live in my sugar. I'm not going to eat it.
And because she wasn't oppressed by all the rules that, you know, everybody else was having to live in, she was able to create the art. And, like, what a great way to this thing that is meant to hurt you. She's like, I'm going to make it into art. And so that's what she was doing.
I cherish that. I think that's fabulous.
And then these kids came over. They weren't even supposed to be out in the woods in the first place. Probably supposed to be at home helping out with the chores or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, fuck this. I'm going to take all this bread and leave some crumbs. And I'm not going to...
Dumbasses.
My mom can't make me a sandwich when I get home. So I'm going to eat this house.
You know what? One, these kids weren't smart because, of course, animals are going to eat your dumbass breadcrumb trail. Two, then you go eat some stranger's house. You don't know how long that house has been there. It's probably been weatherproofed because how the hell are you going to build a gingerbread house and expect it to last through rain and shit?
I mean,
so she sprayed some shit on it.
She was just, you know what? And for you, just because you don't understand her science, you know, and her craft, don't call her a witch just because you don't get it. Just because you don't understand.
Just because you don't understand it. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah. You're like, I don't understand it. She's a witch, right? She had some science and some technology that y'all just weren't privy to. Because again, she had stepped out of societal boundaries. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I wasn't there. You weren't there.
Nope.
I don't know how she, like... What I know is she died and those kids
survived.
Know,
clearly, her story was not told.
Yeah. It sounds to me like these kids went over to her house, ate her home, and murdered her.
Truth for the sugar witch.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, the jury's still out.
I'm side eyeing those fucking Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Bettel.
Probably related to Red, what's her face, in the Bears, Goldilocks, another trifling ass going into somebody's house.
Red?
I was going to say Red Riding Hood, but she was just minding her own business. Well, she was just trying to go to her grandma's house.
Was she? I don't know. I saw Into the Woods, and she looked like she was up to no good. No good. Don't trust her. Eating all them snacks.
I'd rather pull my side-eye attention over to Goldilocks, breaking chairs.
You know, she busts up into some house. You know, we're like the new, you know, we're like the new, who's the story, the Grimm's brothers? We're like.
Yeah, we are. We're the
real folks. telling
the truthers
stories.
Of the truthers.
But yeah, back to Goldie bitch. I'm gonna call her that, okay?
Because she, I think so.
You know what, Goldie bitch, she
I
comes
agree.
Up in there. And first of all, where did she come from? Like, they just start you off in the middle of the story, and they're just like, was she going home? Like, where was
right.
she going to school? Why was
she
not
lost
in school?
In the woods?
Was she,
what was she doing?
We didn't get, and see, that's the thing, shady, because we don't get to hear all of her whole entire backstory, so something's already
exactly.
not right. And I bet you, this is not the first mm-hmm. time this bitch has gone up into someone's house.
Oh, hell no, because you know why?
Why?
She had the nerve to critique these strangers' shit. She's like, this chair is too small. This chair is too big. Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah,
this is not your shit.
It's not your house. She's like, ooh.
This porch is too hot. Don't eat nobody's porch. It's not yours.
Entitlement. And like, ooh, I'm going to take a nap. I done ate all their food. And she's like, oh, this TV's too small. This one's not 3D. They don't have Netflix. And she's like, well, I'm going to take a nap.
Is this? Get out of it. Rachel Dozell is Goldilocks.
That's true.
Just taking people's shit and complaining about it.
I actually now want to woo her to make a film and be like, I'm going to tell your story. And like,
and put it
through that. But she literally is. And you know what? If I'm that bear, just had a wonderful day with my family. And we've been going through some tough times. And outing.
Yes.
We just went out for a walk because we're like, we need to have this porch cool. Everyone's got their porch the way that they want it because it's our family is bomb ass. We step out. For minutes. Mm-hmm.
Just a minute. Go grab some berries or do some bear wood stuff.
Wear wood stuff. Don't be all up in my business, you know. That's why I had to go off camera for that.
We're a secretive bear family.
We got our life. You know, not going to lock my door because I trust my neighborhood. I trust my neighbors.
Right. Nobody lives around here.
Those squirrels are nice. And the house is a wreck. She changed my Netflix password. It's a mess. Porch is all open.
Broken.
She probably took the porridge and like threw it on the ground. She's like, ew, I don't like this one.
This is gross.
Who eats porridge? And then like shit, like go up into the room. And then there's some blonde ass bitch laying in the bed.
In my bed. Get out of my bed.
Do you think it's weird that the parents weren't sharing a bed? Listen, they have their own issue. Maybe they have their own.
Don't
judge their life.
Maybe Papa Bear snores.
You know what?
And Mama Bear just needs.
It's a family that everybody gets what they need. Everyone gets their own.
Clearly,
stuff.
They got their own chairs fit for them. They got their porridge made for them, and they got their bed sized for them. Who cares if Baby Bear is going to be growing in another month?
Absolutely.
Still, let's make them another bear chair. In bed.
Sounds like a family who's really got their shit together. And then this girl comes in here, creates a ruckus, and then goes and tells the tale that they, like, she was like, we only hear her side of the story.
Like, why is this story named after her?
Goldilocks. And then the three bears. They ain't got no names?
I know. Who are they? Is Bear their last name?
I want their names. So anyway,
is it just a description of them? Do they have, are they Sandra McGillicuddy and her family?
Would we like to know? Anyways... That has been story time with James in the Necky Corner.
You're welcome. So we got a letter.
Oh yeah,
we got
a letter.
Fan mail.
We got some fan mail.
Okay, the mail goes like this. It goes, "What's up, or Wonder Twins? If y'all are Wonder Twins, what am I? Things that make you go mmm." And I want to point out that it is UMMM. So very good job. I'm thinking of an old show for you all to read. Gotta be epic. Good job. Keep it up. And so I read this to James, and it's from a Philip M., who is your...
My brother. That is from fan mail from my brother. It's the only way that my family can get in contact with me. They just email minoritycorner@gmail.com, and then it's going to get read on air. So thanks, Philip. That's
Yay!
Awesome. Thank you. And what he's referring to is we invited you all to send us, we'll do script readings, like old, old radio TV. Old news radio.
And Looney Tunes, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Like, we will read scripts. You guys send us some scripts.
I mean, you came up with this.
I don't remember. I come up with so many ideas, I can't keep track. I also want to give a shout out to on the Minority Corner Playground, Ariana P.
Yes.
chimed in. Chirped back. Well, it wasn't like a clap back. So she posted.
Oh.
What did the corner kids do? Like, she kicked back or she kicked? She kicked in? She kicked
up? I don't
up?
Like kicks. That sounds violent.
What's something that's fun that kids do?
Massage.
She massaged this little message into the corner kids. Are children really giving each other massages on the playground? No, it's been a while since I've been around.
Nope, that's creepy. Don't. I take it back.
Listen, children, if you are listening, and I know you are, I know you love Minority Corner, don't be massaging each other. You're not ready for
that.
Don't
do it.
That's grown folks' business. That leads to things. You're not ready.
No.
All right.
It's not right.
Ariana P. read, this is in response to talking about Black-ish on the podcast. And then she says, I wonder if the shitting on Bo feeling has something to do with Ruby being both loving and harsh on everyone except Bo, who she's only been nice to like twice. And the show likes to pair them up a lot. And then she said, I also fucking love Diane. She's sarcastic and honest and okay, a little nuts. But man, I love her.
Thanks for the feedback, Ariana. That's awesome. I agree.
Yes, okay. That's it.
Not about Diane, though. Diane actually irritates me, which I know is blasphemous, and I feel bad about saying that. But you know what? I got opinions. I'm sorry.
Sometimes she can be a bit much. I have a, you know, I go hit or miss. I'm just afraid she's going to kill Jack one of these days. And that's
me too. She's so mean. I love the actress, though. She can act her little booty off.
She can. She's like, what, like 4?
8? I don't even know. She's amazing.
She's a savant.
Mm-hmm.
And, speaking of Rachel D, Joshua Z, Rachel D, why am I abbreviating her name? Like, I'm afraid.
She don't need no privacy.
Rachel Dolezal. Joshua Z posted a really interesting article about her on the Minority Corner Kids Playground.
Is it the Stranger article?
Did you read the article?
Oh, it's excellent. Can you tell? Excellent.
Because I didn't read it. Can you give me a little rundown about it?
It is basically, I believe the author's name is Iwo Jima Olau.
Yes. Yes.
I love her. She's written other things for The Stranger. She also is the editor for The Establishment, which is another great online publication.
I used to read The Stranger all the time when I lived in Seattle, just a little bullet point.
You should jump back in. She's great. So it's basically she goes to Rachel Dolezal. She didn't really want to, but she was asked to do it. Whoa. And she interviewed her, and it is the most on-the-nose account of Rachel Dolezal from a Black woman's perspective I have ever heard. It is the last piece you need to read about this woman. It is the last publication that she ever needs to hear. It is spot on, brilliant. She basically describes the way that Rachel Dolezal thinks in akin to manifest destiny. Basically being able to take something that isn't yours, claim it as yours, and then look down on other people for not understanding you for doing so. She does, it's funny, it's thought-provoking, it's a quick read. Highly suggest to go read it.
Damn. Okay, thank you for that. I was wondering, yeah, thank you.
Because I rolled.
I know. And he even said, Joshua, when he posted, he's like, hey, sorry about this, but, and I figured that someone is, like, I trust the Corner Kids, if they're posting something, it's important. It's, you know, eyes up. Time to look at it.
So it took 3 of my friends for posting it. I was like, nope, first time. Second time, nope. Third person, I was like, okay, these are my 3 awesome friends. And it's posted on Corner Kids. I gotta read this.
I better
this.
Look at this. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. And there it is. That's the last little piece. And it's interesting you say, I guess, like, it's funny to, it's interesting to, that thing about manifest destiny, like that's where a lot of their appropriation sort of comes from. Of just like, this is mine, everything belongs. Like when you're just this like devouring monster that like knows fucking, no bounds,
like fucking Lion King, where it's like where the sun lands is yours. No, fuck you. People live there.
That's someone. It's not yours, Simba's. Sidebar, before we close, I do want to just say, and I want to be on public record
about this. Oh, here we go. This. Okay.
I am not in favor of a live-action Lion King. No. I do not.
It's like,
not
where are we going? You're so serious.
Because it is serious. I'm a little done with these little live. You know what? Maleficent was great because it was like a different perspective.
It was all right.
But it was interesting at least because it was like from a different perspective. Right.
Right. Right.
Beauty and the Beast, it seems like still like a frame by frame shot.
Get that out of my face.
Line.
I'm done.
And like they're doing a live action Lion King. Here's why you do not need a live action Lion King. Because all those animals are going to be CGI.
So it's not live action.
It's just animation. So, and it's all going to be voiceovered, right? So again, still not a live action. At least in the Jungle Book, there was one human character. So it was sort of like, but there are no humans in the Lion King.
There's literally no humans in the Lion King. It's just going to be a bunch of animals looking at balls of meat. with CGI mouth movement. It's stupid.
And I know, like, you know, the Beehive is buzzing because Beyonce might be, she's going to play Nala or something.
You know what?
And the Beehive is buzzing. I have to say
something about that.
Buzz away. Yes.
I am a fervent member of the Beehive.
Okay.
But I think that that's stupid and uninspired casting.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Come on. Get someone who is not as popular. Someone who is actually doing some shit. Someone who maybe is, like, a vocal artist. Or, I don't know. Beyonce has twins. she's reached a peak. Like, we need to, like, come on. But
you see how the advertisements are going to go. It's, like, The Lion King starring Beyonce. I mean, you can't get away from that. I know,
you can't get away from that.
You know they're going to beef up that Nala role. All of a sudden, Nala's got, like, 18 more scenes.
I know, exactly. She's going to have a whole song that she just breaks down and sings. Yeah,
there's not usually a Nala song, but there will be this time. Nala solo. Y'all didn't know Nala was going through all this other stuff. And you know what? If that's what they want to do, then I'm about that. Because at least you're doing something different. So if that's the game plan, then sure. But don't give me a frame by frame. Don't give me a frame by frame of the animated VHS, the VHS tape that I still have. I ain't got a VHS player, but I have it.
Hey, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when you're lazy in college and you take another class and you get a similar topic and you're like, let me just change a couple words and then submit the same ass essay. That's what Disney's doing to us right now.
You mean that thing I did in graduate school? Yeah. I literally took a paper I wrote in undergrad, just updated a little bit here, and then boom.
That's what Disney is doing to us right now.
Oh, and it was my paper about the POMA for homos, too. Yeah.
Stop.
I got double an A for that.
You know what? You already got your degree, so...
Can't get me now, suckas. All right. On that note, we are out of here.
Where can people find us?
Why are you asking me this?
Because I normally say it. I thought I'd jump the gun and
she quizzed me. Okay. This is the Quizlet. Oh, speaking of, y'all can still send in your Quizlets.
Yes, that's right. You wanted fan-made Quizlets.
Fan-made Quizlets. You can email, just separate the answers. It could be Quizlets about whatever you want. You can make your own format of Quizlets. If you have three different, like, news articles that you think are interesting, and it's a way for us to talk about things, and you'll get a little credit. Put the answers in one email or voice recording, which I appreciate. And then put the answer into another email or voice recording there. And you can send that to minoritycorner@gmail.com. Corner with a K. If you can tweet at us, if you're part of the Sierra Club, and I mean the Sierra Crickets or the pop star Sierra, you can chirp at us at Twitter at Minority
Still
Corner.
Still don't understand that one.
Don't get it, Sierra, but I'm glad you and your baby are safe.
Yes.
Twitter at Minority Corner with a K. Is that all the things?
Corner Kids Playground. You can look it up on Facebook group.
And that's our show. If you're Goldilocks, get the fuck out of my house.
Get out of my bed. Stop eating my porridge.
Stop eating my porridge. And if you're a witch, keep living that life, girl. Keep living
you
that
you
life.
You do you, girl. You
do you in the woods.
Make me some potions.
Bam!
So the 2017 Max Fun Drive was a huge success. Thank you so much to everyone who joined or upgraded during the drive and to all of our amazing monthly members. To celebrate, we're giving our $10 and higher monthly members the chance to buy additional enamel pins with the profits going to our friends at the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. What? Yeah. The sale runs April 26th through May 3rd, and it's your last chance to get your hands on these sweet pins. $10 monthly members should receive a link and a code in their email on April 26th, so keep an eye on your inbox and get your denim jacket ready. For more information, visit MaximumFun.org/pins. And thank you again.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.